From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the program, we'll talk with members of Asian Indian communities in Illinois and hear how they're feeling as the pandemic rages for friends and family overseas. We'll also hear how some are organizing to send help. That's later on the show. But first, here in Illinois, restaurants were among the hardest hit sectors of the economy in the early days of the pandemic. And while most places in Illinois are back to full service, allowing dining indoors and out, there are still capacity limits. But that may soon change if Illinois continues to see hospitalizations declining and other COVID metrics improving. Last week, Governor J.B. Pritzker said Illinois was expected to move into a bridge phase this Friday, May 14th.
For restaurants and bars and retail and weddings and public gatherings, this means higher capacity limits and a very hopeful move toward full reopening. And barring any significant reversals in key COVID-19 statewide indicators, Illinois will move to phase five, normal business operations free of pandemic-related mitigations as soon as Friday, June 11th.
The governor went on to say even in phase five, Illinois would continue to follow CDC guidelines on masking. But just because restaurants might be allowed to open at full capacity, that doesn't necessarily mean they'll be able to. And one key reason for that are staff shortages. You've probably seen lots of help wanted signs in your part of Illinois, and I noticed several of my local restaurants have reduced hours, and in some cases days of operation are cut as well. There was even a help wanted postcard dropped in with my Chipotle last week. Joining us to talk more about this in our Monday Reporters Roundtable is Ashok Silvam, editor of the news site Eater Chicago. Ashok, welcome back to the 21st.
Great to be here.
Also with us is Dana Vollmer, reporter with our partner station WGLT in Bloomington Normal. Dana, welcome. Always good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Listeners, we want to know, what are you seeing in your local restaurants? Are there help wanted signs? Are you ready to start eating in restaurants again? Join the conversation by giving us a call. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Ashok, let me begin with you. Can you tell us more about the possibility of ending restaurant capacity limits this summer? Where is the path? Where are we heading with this?
Well, I think it's generally trending positive. And, you know, you look to other cities and see their leads. I was fortunate to, you know, take a trip with my wife a couple weeks ago to Louisville, Kentucky, and seeing how they kind of took the training wheels off, and they were open, not at full capacity, but people down there were generally more relaxed. This came right after the CDC made the recommendation saying that, you know, you could more safely eat outside with mixed company if we're vaccinated properly. And people, there was a little less anxiety over there. I think this is the natural path, what Governor Pritzker and, you know, because we're Chicago-centric, what Mayor Lightfoot has kind of outlined. So right now, you know, the governor and the mayor, the vaccination distribution is their number one priority, it seems. And as, you know, as far as that goes, that should bode well for restaurants.
Dana, as I mentioned, state rules aren't the full story here, though, because even if restaurants can open at full capacity, they might not be able to do so if they don't have the people to staff it. So can you talk about what you and your colleagues have been hearing about this in Bloomington Normal? And let's start with the perspective of restaurant owners and managers.
Absolutely. We did some reporting about a month ago, so still under restricted capacity limits, where restaurant owners were saying that they couldn't even meet that. So kind of what you were describing earlier of having to reduce the number of tables, the hours or days of operation because they couldn't find enough people to right the ship and make sure that all the jobs were getting done. And they credited a few reasons for that. Some of it is kind of intrinsic to that industry. So really kind of chaotic hours for people, unreliable shifts, unreliable tips. That's always been a problem. And then if you layer on top of that some things directly related to the pandemic. So, you know, personal health concerns, seeing how a restaurant handled or mishandled the way that they were approaching COVID safety was a big thing. They also remarked on increased unemployment benefits and the fact that people could hypothetically break even if they were to be getting increased unemployment benefits on top of stimulus checks. And then some have even suggested that folks left Illinois to move to other states that restaurants were open at full capacity earlier on in the pandemic. All of that, they say, is adding up to having trouble finding workers.
Yeah. Ashok, are you hearing the same thing in Chicago? Same sort of situation?
It's to a T, it's exact. And, you know, the whole workers right now are finding a little bit more leverage thanks to the unemployment benefit, and they're staying away from restaurant jobs that don't traditionally offer healthcare benefits. They're low wages. Some, you know, the restaurant world is very famous for not treating their workers very well. They're considered disposable. I look at job ads, and normally restaurants can kind of, managers can kind of get away with really sparse ads, kind of relying on, well, we'll be flexible with your hours, we'll be flexible with your benefits. And workers going through this pandemic, they don't want to take that anymore. They're demanding more direct salary information in those job ads. And they're kind of content to, they don't feel like this, to buy into this whole myth that restaurants are family, because they haven't seen this traditionally. There was this whole powder keg locally and actually across the nation with a lot of restaurants that occurred last year, where, you know, with workers kind of taking to social media to air their grievances about toxic work environments. And for a lot of restaurant management and ownership, they kind of feel like they can snap their fingers and everything will revert to pre-pandemic status. And that's not the case. With restaurant workers want more, and they're being more selective thanks to a variety of factors, and aren't really rushing back to work. I talked to one prominent restaurant owner in Chicago, and he's keeping his patio closed because he can't find enough workers. And while that's tragic, then you kind of have to look at what the reasons are behind that. Are they offering raises? Are they offering those benefits that I talked to you about? It's really interesting to see right now.
Yeah. All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about sort of the status of restaurants as Illinois seems to be heading toward removing capacity limits, but some restaurants might not be able to take full advantage of that if they can't find people, if they're not willing to pay people what people want to come back to work in those restaurants. We're speaking with Ashok Silvam, who's the editor at Eater Chicago, and Dana Vollmer, a reporter at WGLT and Bloomington Normal. And I want to read now something that you both have sort of talked about that I came across last week. This is from the Economic Policy Institute, which is a left-leaning think tank out of Washington, D.C. Regardless, I find the argument convincing, and it fits with what you're saying. It's from a piece with the headline, U.S. Labor Shortage? Unlikely. Here's why. And it says, quote, when restaurant owners cannot find workers to fill openings at wages that are not meaningfully higher than they were before the pandemic, even though the jobs are inherently more stressful and potentially dangerous because workers now have to deal with anti-maskers and ongoing health concerns, that's not a labor shortage. That's the market functioning. The wages for a harder, riskier job should be higher. End quote. Dana, you spoke with some restaurant workers to get their perspective on this. What did you hear from them?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely tracks almost verbatim with what one restaurant worker who works in a corporate restaurant setting told me. It was effectively, if you can't afford to pay people what that labor is worth, then you don't deserve to be in business. And that was kind of the case for all of them. I think restaurant workers, maybe to a lesser degree than, you know, grocery store clerks or some other folks that were doing essential jobs at the beginning of the pandemic, were really being celebrated. And we've certainly seen how busy the restaurants have become, but to then change nothing about what, again, these are problems that existed pre-pandemic and are acknowledged problems. That was another thing that a worker said to me, was like, you have identified what the problem is. And so if you're not willing as an owner to address those issues, then why are you surprised that no one wants to take these jobs? So I think that's exactly kind of where folks are at. And I will also say that the restaurant workers that I spoke to were very willing to take other restaurant jobs if conditions were better, and certainly advocated for the fact that it should be able to be a career, so to speak. I spoke with a fast food worker who spoke to the idea that, like, fast food work is kind of a jumping off point for someone, a job that you have in college to help you pay the bills and get by and then move on to something bigger and better. But what they told me was that pretty much all of their coworkers are adults, that is their career, and they're planning on working at that restaurant, and that's kind of the end game. So their argument is that, you know, everyone deserves living wages, and that you should also think about it as being a permanent career for people if you want to keep good help.
Yeah, and Dana, you spoke with somebody named Danny. You only used her first name to protect her, you know, sort of job prospects. But I thought it was fascinating. She had worked in a McDonald's, then went to work for this vegan and vegetarian meal prep service, and found it to be a culture shock, like in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. So Danny told me she's worked on and off at McDonald's throughout various points in her college career, but was able to pick up some hours at a locally owned restaurant, and said that it was the first time that she ever felt genuinely cared about as an employee. Part of that was that off the bat, she was getting paid above minimum wage, and then those wages were increased basically when that business could afford to do it. And she told me a story about she had an allergic reaction to a mosquito bite, and called her boss, was kind of scared about calling them to say I wasn't coming to work today. And then not only were they like, don't worry about it, but she got paid sick leave, which was something that she had never been offered before. And if it would have been the same case when she was working at McDonald's, she wouldn't have gotten paid for that shift, and she would have needed that money, and also could have potentially been written up, so to speak, for it, or it would be a documented absence that could later count against her. So it was a really big culture shock just to feel like this is a place where I'm supported, and when I'm having a medical emergency, I don't need to be scared about telling my boss that.
Well, we seem to be entering a new restaurant economy. Ashok, I do want to ask you to something sort of adjacent to this story, another aspect of restaurants and the pandemic. Last year, we talked with you about restaurants that were complaining about food delivery services like Grubhub and DoorDash, either sort of doing listings without permission, outdated menus, wrong prices, bad service for which the restaurant gets the blame. You recently wrote about legislation that's moving in the General Assembly that aims to address this. Can you talk briefly about what's being proposed there?
Well, restaurant owners are really fired up about this issue with third parties, kind of forging a fraudulent relationship, fooling the customers into thinking that they have relationships and rapport with restaurants by putting up menus, putting up prices that are outdated when there's no agreement. So, like, for example, if DoorDash or Grubhub had a Chinese restaurant on their listed on their platform without their permission, it makes restaurant owners really angry because they don't have any control. Like, if the order gets, there's errors with the order, if the food is cold, you have customers, instead of, like, you have them blaming the restaurant, and they have no idea that they've been listed because these are unauthorized kind of posts that Grubhub, which, you know, on their earnings call has said that they want to make sure the consumer has as many choices as possible, no matter what. Wouldn't they will post things without permission, and restaurants are angry. So this bill is designed to make that illegal and fine platforms a couple $1,000s per violation. This is something that's been done in California. It's been looked at other states across the country. And for restaurant owners, they are ecstatic about the prospect of this happening.
Only less than a minute left. Ashok, last question. I was scrolling through some of your recent stories. 8,000 baseball fans who get to go to Cubs games in person at Wrigley Field are going to be able to enjoy vegan soft serve ice cream. I don't really have a question here. I guess I just wanted to say vegan soft serve ice cream at Wrigley Field. We're a long way from hot dogs and soft pretzels, but I guess this is not a new story about dining in ballparks, right, Ashok?
This is about expanding your fan base to make sure people are happy. Also about strengthening rapport with vendors. This is, you know, I had, funny enough, vegan ice cream for the first time ever yesterday because, you know, I've been asked to go on a new diet by my doctor, and it wasn't that bad. I guess if you can have seven inning doubleheaders, you can have vegan ice cream. You know, the world's changing. We need to adapt, evolve, or perish.
There is your endorsement. Vegan soft serve ice cream. It wasn't that bad. Ashok Silvam is the editor at Eater Chicago. We've also been speaking with Dana Vollmer, who's a reporter at WGLT in Bloomington Normal. Ashok, Dana, thanks so much for being with me today on the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by AARP Illinois, featuring Disrupt Disparities, an initiative working to bring about policy, systemic, and structural changes for older Americans of color. More information on this multi-year project at disruptdisparitiesil.com.